Hi, this is Rabbi Fine, and together with Rabbi Bazak, we present to you the Dadding Podcast, Dadding being the art of being a dad. So join us as we discuss, we laugh, we experience what being a dad is all about, the Dadding Podcast. Welcome to the Dadding Podcast. My name is Rabbi Fine.
I'm supposed to speak now.
Go for it.
And my name is Rabbi Bazak.
And we are two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day. Yeah. So after that grand start, the first episode we're talking about is Wake Up. The aim is we're going to go through the school day, giving pearls of wisdom and many pearls of laughter. And let's talk about Wake Up. So Gary, Wake Up. There's almost a uniquely contradictory morning zone. Do you want to take us through it?
So let's picture the scene here. We've got, it's about 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5:30 if we're lucky. 5:30. And you then get the tug on your blanket, on your duvet. It's probably a blanket for some of us at that point. A blanket duvet, and you have little Joey, little Akiva, little Tehillah, whoever it is, pulling you. And the question is, she wants to get up. She's up. She's raring to go. Absolutely, that's it. She's going downstairs, whether you like it or not. She's a bit scared to go downstairs. The question is, when is it a valid reason for you to actually get up?
I think this is the moral question, isn't it? Is what is good enough for you to get out of bed? And who gets out of bed?
Right. The question, there's two questions. One question is, who is responsible at this point in the morning, right? Does it depend on whose side of the bed they came to? Does it depend on who, on a rotor system that you've created? Does it depend on that, or does it just depend on who got to bed earlier? So we, in our house, we actually, it's always daddy that gets up in the morning, at that time in the morning. Of course, daddy getting up at that time in the morning means I take them downstairs, I put them at the breakfast table, I put random foods in front of them, I go onto the couch, and I go back to sleep. Right, which seems like a totally reasonable thing to do, totally responsible thing to do at that time in the morning, because a 3-year-old, 4-year-old should basically know how to make themselves breakfast. That's my basic theory.
I think here's the big contradiction, right, Gary? So imagine that you left them with a childminder, and that childminder ignored them for about 15 minutes during the day. Problem or not a problem?
Chas v'chalila. Oh my gosh, childminder's gone. Childminder has been sacked, at least reprimanded, at least given a stern warning that she is never to leave Bubala alone again.
Right, so whether Bubala is Joey or Akiva, 15 minutes left alone is absolutely considered negligence.
Yes, now, I'm gonna total ask, negligence.
Right, Gary, so I'm going to ask the obvious question here. Why is it that at 5:30 in the morning, when little so-and-so has tugged on your blanket or quilt and now has walked downstairs, that is not negligence to effectively leave them for 15 minutes?
Right. Somehow,
that's the glory of morning,
somehow,
isn't it?
Somehow, my looking after them, unconscious, or being upstairs, whatever it is more effective in my mind than the childminder's 2 minutes of negligence. I'm not negligent if I have 15, 20, half an hour. If I let them make breakfast themselves, if I give them pens, because that will go well. I'll put some paper in front of them and I'll put pens. And then, God forbid, if they draw something on the table, chas v'chali, oh my gosh, if they draw something on that, can you imagine? It's like unbelievable. So, okay, go on.
So in other words, the answer to preventing negligence is pens.
Pens.
Basically. Pens at 5:30 in the morning.
Pens. Baby paints. See if your wife will enjoy it. What? Paints. Maybe toys. Toys. Or, I mean, we don't have screens in our house, but screens.
Screens.
Because what could go wrong with an iPad?
Absolutely.
And a 4-year-old. Or a 6-year-old. Nothing could go wrong with an iPad and a 4-year-old, 6-year-old looking after themselves. I don't know why anyone's not always just doing that.
Right, okay, so that's the 5:30 in the morning moral dilemma. You've got your kid tugging and who gets up, and that strange zone of it's not negligence because they've got a pen or an iPad. Now, I want to admit that even though my kids aren't teenagers, they're born in Israel, they've got independence, and often they actually are not getting up until 7 o'clock plus, right? Now, here is the strange part of the contradiction, right? Let's paint this together, Gary. You've got your kid who's excited, 5:30 in the morning. You've got one of the parents who's got up, and subsequently they've gone to bed. Make sense? Makes sense. In the other room, you've got Lisa, the teenager. Now, Lisa, at that point, is basically asleep. By all standards, including teenagers, she's asleep. Now, what happens when our little Joey, all excited at 5:30 in the morning, whatever time it is, just describe the scene as she enters the den.
He must not go into that room. He must not go into that room. That room is a dangerous room. It's a dangerous room. First of all, I mean, when I wake up one of our teenagers, I mean, first of all, if you do get response, then, I mean, best case scenario is Joey would go in there and not get any response. There would just be a shrug and a turning round, right? Shrug and a turning
round. That's okay.
That's best case scenario in this current situation.
That's not like a safety...
Because this is dangerous. Because if Joey does more than that, and Joey does manage to wake Lisa up, then Joey's going to be exposed to what can only be called wake-up rage.
This is rage. This is nothing.
Wake-up rage. It's a pure rage. There's a lot of anger pent up over many years of just the outrage of the fact that you have to get up at a certain point in the morning. And not only do you have to get up at that certain point in the morning, but you can't be... I'm responsible for my own wake-up. I don't need you to wake me up. Of course, they've never ever got out of bed by themselves, ever. That's ever. Great. They've never woken themselves up with an alarm. You go, why are you waking me up? You don't need to wake me up. I know what time I have to get to school. I know how long it takes me to get up. I'm not... I just need... So Joey might get a little bit worse. So as they're walking kind of towards the room, now is the time.
This is awful. I can just imagine Joey walking towards Lisa's room. You're right. There is that point.
This is the point where you have to jump, grab his legs, hold him, don't let him go in there.
Both parents.
Don't go in, Joey! Do not go in under any circumstances.
It's that mesh of the world, isn't it? It's got the optimistic 5-year-old Joey and this teenager who basically believes at that point in the morning that everyone hates me and I hate everyone. Right. Basically, everyone, including the sun rising, is a threat to their independence at that point.
Right.
No?
Right, basically. And it's an interesting, it happens at a certain point. There's a certain point where that world turns around. There's the bouncy 5-year-old. There's the bouncy 6-year-old who's getting up in the morning, who's all happy, and it's a new day, and there's birds singing, and it's all wonderful. And there's a certain point, there's certainly a 16-year-old, where it's no more bouncy. There's no bouncy. There's no bouncy bird singing. There's no sunshine. There's rain, right? And it's mystery, and it's murky, and it's cloudy. And there's a certain point that changes in the middle. You know, there's a certain point where bouncy, 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 happy, 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 happy turns into leave me alone. Right, leave me alone. I don't want to get up. There's a certain point that's going to happen. And the question is, when does that happen? And how do you balance it happening? Because you don't like either of them. Yeah, there should be a point in the middle where there's like 2 years of happiness. But there's no 2 years of happiness. There's just kind of, they're waking me up and it's unreasonable. Yeah, why are they out at 5:30 in the morning? Absolutely crazy. Or I'm waking them up and I can't get them up in the morning. So there's no normal.
I mean,
that is the nature of the morning.
I get it. You mean, that is the zone, isn't it? If it was a weather forecast, you'd have your like totally blindly sunny. I'm a morning person. I love it. I'm happy. I'm bouncy.
Right.
Too sunny.
Yeah.
And you've got your like basically thunderstorm teenager. Yeah, you know, it's doom and gloom, it's thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
We need like
What we really need to do is educate them to something in between.
Like a South Africa kind of thing.
They get up and they relax. They relax in their bed reading. They relax in their bed reading. That would be reasonable.
That'd be utopia.
They wake up and they don't make any noise, because if they want their toys, then they're gonna disturb their brothers and their sisters. Mm. So we don't want, under any circumstances, we don't want brothers and sisters waking up. Either because of the teen rage or because people need their sleep. So they wake up and they sit quietly in their bed reading or thinking about some of the beautiful things.
Think about life.
Think about how wonderful life is.
Why are we here?
Say Mada'ani in the morning. It's brilliant. Say thank you to Hashem for waking me up for another day. That's what we really want, because that's what we do. Because that's basically what we do. You know, we wake up in the morning and we just lie there for that minute and think how wonderful life is. We're never ever annoyed about the fact the alarm's gone off. Or that anyone has woken us up.
That's the second alarm.
We've never pressed Zoom because we're sort of snooze because we're worried about. That's what we should do, ideally. That's the kind of. We set the role model. I don't know why they don't follow it. Right. But they don't seem to follow
Right. Now, Gary, let's be honest here. There's something that religious men do in the morning which I think needs to be said. It's something very important, and let's not understate the importance of it. So the house is basically a mock. I assume other people's houses clearly aren't, but yeah, I'd speak for myself. As a little bit of a mock, you have children getting up at various different times, some further in their stage of the evolutionary process of getting dressed basically for school. Some kids are ambling towards breakfast, some are not. Basically, you realize it's too much to handle.
This is the time where you're critical.
Well, this is the time where religious Jews do what religious Jews do best, right?
Right.
That is sure.
Pray.
Pray, absolutely.
What else is there to do?
Well, but it's not praying at home, because then you'd be in the midst of the storm.
You would be able to
at that point, you basically say, oh, look, it's time for shul.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have to leave the house.
Who would have thought? I'm really sorry. There's nothing I can do. I'm really, really sorry.
I have to pray.
Sorry, I've got to go and pray.
And the truth is, I don't understand why it's only very religious people who go to pray in the morning.
Yeah,
it's just basic common sense.
It's interesting. It was actually my brother started when he started going to shul on Shabbat morning. Was actually when he started having kids, so he started realizing, I get this. This is what you need to do. You need to go to shul on Shabbos morning with your gang. You've got your gang at shul, and you go to your shul, and that's fine. And that's good. He actually once came to shul, and me being a rabbi, he felt quite embarrassed about the reason he was coming to shul was because he wanted to get away from his kids on Saturday morning. So he actually came over to me, and me and another rabbi, it's a true story, came over to me and another rabbi, and he said, I do feel good about going to shul, but
I am going for the wrong reason. I am going purely.
Yeah, that's quite mature.
Yeah, that's very mature. I'm going purely because I want to get out of the house on Saturday morning. And the rabbi said, well, do you think I go? he was a Lubavitch rabbi, and he said, why do you think I go? Yeah, and then there was at least another four people in the shul put up their hand. Because they couldn't talk at that point, because they were praying. Yeah, they're also going for those reasons. Okay, but the truth is, prayer is an important thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So there is actually a vital time to go, and you could coordinate it all around that. It shouldn't be that much of a problem. It's interesting. My mother-in-law was actually helped. There's a certain rabbi in the Hendon Golders Green area whose wife was completely bedridden, and while she was bedridden, basically, he had to obviously stay at home. He was looking after the kids, and he had to give her a shirim at that time in the morning as well. And my mother-in-law, who lived up the road. And she didn't have any kids at home herself at that point. And she felt that this was a time where, this was a real time where she could just do that chesed. Do that really, a really kind act. So she used to wake up every morning, and my father-in-law didn't know where she was going.
What time is this?
She was doing about 5:30.
Wow.
Yeah, about 5:30. So she used to go down the road, knock on the door, so that the rabbi could go and give his class. He used to go and give his class, and he used to go and daven, and he was the rabbi for sure. And she used to basically deal with the kids completely. 100% deal with every single detail. And it's interesting, the rabbi used to come and used to suit his wife, and his wife said, are you sure you don't need cereal? You can't be, they'd like the cereal. He said, no, there's still cereal in the cupboard. And it'd been 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And she said, it doesn't make sense that you've still got cereal. You can't still have cereal. So basically, my mother-in-law had been buying the cereal as well. She'd been buying the cereal to make sure she'd been replenishing everything. And the interesting thing was that after this all happened, after he used to come home, all the kids went out to school, and instead of hanging around, she made sure that the husband and the wife had their time together. And she left at that point. And what I think is incredibly important about that is that if you think about it, we have the opportunity to do that every single day. We have the opportunity, that process of looking after kids, that process of giving them breakfast. That process, which we'll talk about more later, but that process of getting them up and making sure they feel, making sure they start their day on the right foot, that is an opportunity that we actually have ourselves. It's true, it's much easier to do it as a big grand act for other people. That's very easy to do. Very easy to do. I mean, it's not easy to do. It's still a lot of work, yeah, and it's a real, and it's a real achievement. But it seems just that little bit harder when we have to do it for ourselves, when we have to do it for our families. But that is the opportunity of wake up in the morning.
That's true. That is the morning. The day could be anything and everything, really, in the morning.
Right.
You could turn rage into sun. You could turn even sun into thunderstorm. It is. The morning could be anything and everything.
The morning is how you start your day, and that is our job as a dad. Our job as a dad is to make sure that our, one of our jobs as a dad is to make sure that the day starts on the right foot with wake up.
There you are. Okay, I'm getting slight pimples already because the next episode we're going to talk about the stool run. You should see our faces. All right, you've been listening to the Dadding Podcast, two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day. This Dadding Podcast was brought to you by Seed, providing life tools for Jewish families. For more information, for inspiration, for events, or just to get in touch, please visit our website, www.seed.uk.net.